You're listening to a Broadmoor Podcast production.
This week, Pastor Josh preached week 9 of our 10-week series through the Ten Commandments. The commandment this week was, don't lie. On the podcast today, we talk about the difference between lying and being a liar. Also, what is our motivation for lying, or what's in our hearts that drives us when we are untruthful? On Sunday, Josh brought us to James 5:16, where Scripture teaches us to confess our sins to one another. So we're asking the question, are there more or less helpful ways to practice confession? Finally, how does lying affect the way we portray Jesus to the rest of the world? We're talking about all of this and more today on After the Message. All right, well, hey everybody, welcome to the podcast today.
Hey Mike.
Morning, Mike.
Good to see you guys. I'm doing great. Took me just a minute there, you know, to find a little break that we could start the podcast.
It did feel double Dutch-esque. Like you're trying to jump in.
Waiting for the little pause. So anyway, everybody have a good weekend?
Yeah.
Yep.
It was a decent weekend. Yeah. Sean didn't have a great weekend. We had a great weekend.
Not so much, huh?
No, we're having a little towel redone in the bathroom, and it's just made a mess. So, it's a lot of dusting right now. So,
but it'll be fixed today, right?
Should.
Lord willing.
Hopefully.
And the creek don't rise.
Thanks, Grandpa.
Home improvement, Grandpa. Mark, you seemed like a little like you were really thoughtful with that question, like about the weekend.
Oh yeah, no, I'm good. It was great. It was probably a pretty relaxing weekend. We had some friends help out with the baby, which was fantastic. Yes, very very helpful. So we had a good time.
Thank you, Shelter Ministry.
Thank you,
families.
So, good man. So yesterday, speaking of the service yesterday. It was really great. Mm-hmm. It was a little longer than normal, but good. We had a lot. We crammed a lot into that time. There was a lot going on. So, really, really great service.
And so
before we get into the sermon and start to talk through some questions and things that we have, just so everybody knows who's in the room, I'm Mike Haight, and next to me, as I go around the circle, is Mark Evans. Mm-hmm. Then we got Josh Braddy. We got Sean Selman, Neil Marsh, and Chase Hammack.
Woohoo!
So, welcome, Chase. You look.
We're so glad you're here, Chase.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Man, it's going to be a low key podcast today. I'll tell you.
Great.
Anyway, yesterday we were into week 9 of the 10-week series on the Ten Commandments, and so. And we were talking about not lying.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lie.
Don't lie.
Don't lie. So, yeah. So, man, it was. So, you, here's one thing I think that was stood out to me, and I thought was probably a good thing for us to discuss. And it seemed like in our pre-podcast review, some of you might have had the same thoughts. Like, so what? What is the difference? Because as you have with most of these commands or all of the commands, you know, you've kind of pointed out that this, it's more than just behavior modification, right? It gets to the heart behind it. But what is the difference between, because I think you drew a distinction between lying and being a liar.
Right.
So can we talk just for a minute, like what's the difference?
Sure. So the prohibition, the don't do, certainly says don't lie, but although it's a lot more, right? So it's more of a legal term here, and it's speaking really to the fabric of the Hebrew people, right? So if they're going to be this kingdom of priests and they're going to be a nation that is set apart, then there has to be something that they stand on above all else, and truth has to be that thing. And that's the beauty as you see the Old Testament unfold and the timeline move towards the cross. Jesus comes and he is known as the truth, like he is the way, the truth, and the life. So the very thing that they would stand on and live towards is all embodied in the person, the work of Jesus Christ, right? So all of that's in view for us today, but for them, they wouldn't have heard this and just thought, okay, well, I need to say something that's true, or I need to not tell a lie. Instead, they would understand this as we need to be a truthful person. Hmm. That it's yes, don't lie, but don't be a liar. Don't be one that in your heart you were constantly standing on not truthful things or trying to find your way out. And really these commands, when you look at them, the horizontal ones that deal with people, right? They're connected. They're all connected in some way because just a sneak peek, we're in a 10-week series on the Ten Commands. We're going to have an 11th week. It's going to be a bonus week. What's the greatest command that when Jesus asked, when he's asked, what is the greatest command? He says, you're to love God and love people, right? So in that, the way in which we love people, you can't do that without being a truthful person. Hmm. And so that's where it would be. It would resonate in the heart. Would you guys say that differently as you understand it?
I don't think I would say that differently. I wonder, like, as you were talking, I think about this whole idea that you took us to Acts 1:8. I don't mean to jump there so early, but Acts 1:8, is there, even in the idea that God is bringing his people out of Egypt and saying you shall be a kingdom of priests, in other words, you're going to be a people that tell the truth about who I am.
That's right.
And could it be that, like, scripture doesn't tell us this, but could it be that we know they were in Egypt as God's people, mm-hmm. but over time, had they not been bold about the truth?
Sure.
Had they lied or become deceitful, not necessarily by what they said, but by what they didn't say?
Yeah.
And so he's bringing them out, and he's saying, hey, I want to draw you to myself, first of all, mm-hmm. and then now you're going to go out and interact with people.
Right.
And one of those things is to represent me rightly or truthfully
yeah.
among the people, like the land I'm sending you into, you can't be quiet about who I am.
Right.
Or you can't live a life opposite of who I am. You have to represent me truthfully.
That's
as
right.
a kingdom of priests.
Yeah.
Going back to that once again.
I certainly think that's right. You had a thought?
Well, yeah, because I was thinking about that during the sermon. Could it be a case of also, like of what you're saying is God brought them out to bear false witness would be to not appropriately give him the glory for him being the one that brought them out.
Yeah.
And as they go into the rest of the world to not appropriately say he's the one that did this. Mm. To me, that would be bearing false witness as well mm-hmm. when you're not appropriately giving credit and witness to the one who has done the work. And I think we do that today too.
Sure.
We don't necessarily give appropriate witness of who he is and what he's done. Either we take the credit or we credit, you know, the things of the world or other people rather than giving him the credit witnessing to the world for who he is appropriately.
Yeah, certainly. I certainly think that's right. And all of those mixed in with, back to Sean's point, they're in Egypt. There's Egyptian gods everywhere, like legitimately everywhere, on every corner. And the thought could be not just, well, I'm going to be completely pagan or I'm going to be completely God. Probably the worst thing is when you mix them together, mm-hmm. right? And you say, well, God is faithful, God is good, but so is Ra. Ra has mm-hmm. been near to my family. We have the statue. He's been really helpful there. Or as they move forward, like Baal would be another god that they would attend, soon come in contact with that they're working through, and it's this mixture, and so they're holding something up, but it's a misrepresentation of who God is. Mm-hmm. And the command, of course, is always to the people first, because how we interact with people is going to show the world how we interact with God. Mm-hmm. And if we can't represent somebody rightly that we see and touch and experience and do life with, there's no way possible we can do that with God. And so these are tied together. It is horizontal, but it's still a vertical mm-hmm. command to represent God's God well. And so when we look at that Acts command, I know sometimes we talked about it in our pre-podcast. Sometimes when we look at that thought of being God's, like, you will be my witnesses in all of in Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, our thought is that we're going to go and share the gospel. Well, yeah. But I think that is a term we use more than they would use, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That's just kind of an all-encompassing term that we would say, we're going to tell you about Jesus. For them to tell about Jesus was to tell what Jesus had done.
That's right.
Right? And I think we see pictures of, very clear pictures in the Gospels of what that would look like, because when the blind man, when Bartimaeus is healed of his blindness, he doesn't say, well, let me tell you about the three circles evangelism method. Right. Let me sit there and do the four spiritual laws. He said, dude, I was blind, mm-hmm. but I can see. The guy who couldn't walk, like he's not going to sit and say, hey, let me preach a sermon to you. What he would say is, I met a man who spoke and my legs had strength and I jumped up and I danced. And that would be true even for the non-physical, right? So if we have this idea of the woman at the well, her line was, I just met a guy mm-hmm. who's told me everything I've ever done and all the bad stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's the calling card. And you've got to come meet him.
Right.
Like that would be, I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to tell you what I saw. I'm going to tell you what I experienced. I'm going to tell you what I heard.
Man, I think that is so good. And as we move into that more and more as a church, when we read this, be my witnesses, I think you're exactly right. The tendency is to think, okay, I got to go around sharing the three circles or the bridge. And we don't want to discourage you from doing that. But what it says is be my witnesses. Mm-hmm. Be a witness of what God has done in you. Be a witness mm-hmm. of what you've seen God do. And in this day and age, when we talk about sharing the gospel in this culture, we've got to latch onto that, because I think in everyday conversation, when we talk about sharing our faith, we're going to be received the conversation is going to flow better when it comes from us and this is what I've witnessed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, I'm going to preach a sermon to you.
Right.
I always go back to the back deck or with your neighbor. It's a conversation of, hey, let me tell you what I've seen, what I've experienced, mm-hmm. what I know, what I've witnessed versus, hey, Bob, let me tell you about the four spiritual laws.
Yeah.
That's hard to get to.
Yeah, and I find people sometimes who are antagonistic towards like sermony things. Like, mm-hmm. if you were to sit down with them and say, hey, can we do a Bible study together or can I share the scripture with you? Like, no, I don't want anything to do with that.
That's right.
But when you tell them, man, I was at the breaking point in my depression. Mm-hmm. I couldn't go on. And I'm just telling you today, I'm different.
Yeah.
And for them, you can't argue with something that is experientially really theirs or yours. And that's just a way that we start. And I think that's how we should share the good news, not somebody else's good news, not the thoughts on good news. Mm-hmm. But if it's not good news to you, it's not good news.
That's right.
So you've got to share that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's at the heart of this command.
Yeah. So I was reminded, 1 John. Mm-hmm. That which was from the beginning, 1 John chapter 1, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we looked upon, we've touched with our hands concerning this word of life, the life that was made manifest, and we've seen it, and we testify to it, we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and which was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus. Like, so John's reminding us of this very thing of mm-hmm. we're to be witnesses. We're to talk about what we've seen, what we've heard, what we've experienced. But also the idea of that we have fellowship in that. Mm-hmm. And we want you to have fellowship with us. I think that's a big shift too, is that when I begin to understand that I want someone to understand the truth, it's not out of a desire just to get them to mm-hmm. respond to me. Like, you need to know this fellowship. Mm-hmm. You need to know this this God who has sent us out, who has brought us out, who has delivered us, which we've experienced, we've seen, we've heard. And it's I think it's in those conversations that's not
you're
about
inviting them in.
It's not just about sharing the gospel. Like, mm-hmm. I got to get to that point. It's about valuing that person in such a way that you desire for them to know Christ as well.
To fellowship, yeah. That's good.
I know this podcast is turning into more of an evangelism podcast, and I'm excited about it because I'm curious. I heard a podcast the other day. Who was the guy? Remind me, not John Mark Comer, the guy who took his place as the pastor.
Tyler Staton.
Tyler Staton. Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. If you haven't read that book, it's an excellent resource. Go read it. It's really good. I heard a podcast this past week. It was just a snippet of something he said. He said the way that they, his church, but particularly just him and the people that he does life with, the way that they do evangelism really never approaches from the intellectual side in the sense of, hey, let's do an open forum. I'm going to talk to you. You're going to talk to me, and we're going to debate this thing out and see what falls on what side. He said for him, again, I'm not saying that this is perfect, but I do say it resonates with me a lot, that he has a small group of people that they do life with. And he said, we don't live together, but it's close to it. Like they're around each other every day, and they move together, and they walk together, and they engage outsiders together. And the point is never to, I'm going to convince you or even convert you to use spiritual language in a moment. But what I'm going to promise you is I'm going to do life with you if that's what you are after. Mm-hmm. And if you're seeking truth, I'm going to show you in our life, in our marriages, in the way that we parent, in the way that we live, in the way that we pay bills, in the way that we do these things, I want you to watch it. And if it resonates with you, then there's a deeper conversation to go here. Mm-hmm. And for me, that resonates with what the Great Commission in my mind should look like, that yeah, we're to go and baptize, but we're also to teach everything that we've ever been commanded. And I've always struggled with that command in the Great Commission, because a lot of times we would say, well, I need to go and share the gospel. I need to download this information. Seriously, everything that we've ever been taught by the Lord, how can we do that outside of doing life with people, with both saved and unsaved, people who are in the kingdom and out.
Yeah. So if I could tie it back to what we're talking about today is this. So that calls me to then live truthfully in every area of my life. If
an outsider looks at this community,
that's right,
and they're bearing false witness, you've hurt yourself.
To me, this commandment ties really strongly back to don't take the Lord's name in
vain. That's right. That's exactly right.
Those two. Mm-hmm. So as I'm living life, do I live it according to the truth? Do I live it according to what God's called me to? Otherwise, I'm bearing not even false witness against my neighbor, but to my neighbor, right? Mm-hmm. I'm living a life that's saying something different than what my mouth is saying.
Yes.
So.
Mm. Yeah.
Neil has a
thought
for Braille.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking through the things that then I'm still wrestling with the idea of when do I lie and the concept of what makes me a liar versus that I just lie. And so I was thinking through this of the things if in that setting, in the Hebrew setting, in a court setting, if you're not truthful about what your neighbor's done, you remove the opportunity that they would experience mercy or justice. Mm. The whole thing of intimacy with God or intimacy with others rises and falls on being truthful. And so I'm sitting here just from my mind going through, like, when do I find myself being dishonest? And what is the result of that? So the simple one is in my marriage, let's say that. Jennifer asks me, how am I doing? And I'm angry at her or feel betrayed by her or feel hurt or maybe just pouting, right?
So you hide.
So I would say, I'm fine.
Right.
Right. It's a very simple way that I can, or ask her, if she asks me how I feel about her or something like that, right? And I just, for me, I've kind of landing on the fact that we lie because we want to tear someone down or build ourselves up. Mm-hmm. So we want to inflict pain and push them down or build ourselves up, both ruining intimacy in a relationship. And disallowing mercy or justice or truth to be fully experienced. And so that's kind of where I'm sitting this morning, just thinking through, because if I'm not truthful, there's no way we can move forward
right
in that relationship. Everything kind of gets spun backwards.
And if you're not truthful, then you're setting the people that you're doing life with up poorly.
Absolutely.
Because they look at you and say, I should do what Neil's doing.
That's right. And there's a contradiction. And,
that's right.
You know, the people who see it most in our lives would be, if we have kids, they would see, wait, what you're saying doesn't match what you just did. I see this.
Right.
And then we live these lies that create a really distorted view of the gospel in our lives,
right?
And ruins those things.
Mm. It's really good. So
now that we're kind of back to the horizontal nature of this command and kind of how we live life with others. I want to Josh, on Sunday you brought up James 5:16. You shared a story, which I thought story. By the way was yeah. really great. It was a great illustration, and I know
it's embarrassing. Thank you very much.
No doubt,
that's what makes it such a good story. There,
I feel like I know you so much
better. Oh boy, yeah. I think I can serve with a pastor who straight up lies to his people.
Dude, stone cold.
We in trouble, then, brother.
I did not bat an eye.
But so you tied that back to James 5:16, and therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And in your story, like you went and you confessed this lie to this brother that you had offended, and so we're told to confess our sins to one another, right? Mm-hmm. So, but maybe that's not always helpful, or are there ways that we should keep in mind as we do that, that might be a more right way or a less right way?
Yes. And I think our resident psychologist in the room, our resident PhD, Stephen Neil Marsh, is going to share with us. The answer.
Also added to that resume would be the need to be the chief confessor too, right? Like that's
so you got experience.
Yeah, I think it's a practice, right? I think confessing is a practice. It's from Scripture,
mm-hmm.
And so I think we should be curious at how we do that. So to practice something, usually it's helpful to have someone show us how to do it the first time you try something. So it's helpful to know what that looks like. And I think it's helpful to have someone guide you. I was imagining myself as a sixth grader who was not great at baseball, and I had a coach who tried to work with me to make me a better baseball player in practice. And so he had to take me through drills and like. And so I think for those of us who we haven't adopted the practice of confession, to invite other people to help us in with that is really a good idea.
When you say invite other people in, what would that look
like? So for me, it's people I trust. Who do I trust then?
That you'd run it by them and say, hey,
sometimes
it depends
on
up.
It depends on what it is, okay. Especially if I've never done this before. To have a small group member or a pastor or minister, or even if your spouse is in that world with you where you need to confess to someone else, like have someone that you can talk through it with who can help you be truthful and helpful to the other person. Mm-hmm. Many times I think we confess, and especially we've had a moment of a sin is brought to it, like a Psalm 51 moment where David and a sin has been brought to our attention. It's a grievous sin that has, we have damaged others and become aware of it in that moment. What we want to do is unload that. We want to get that off of us, which means in effect, what we do is I go and then I will take all that guilt and I will dump the pressure and the weight of that onto someone else, mm-hmm. who had no idea that conversation was coming,
mm-hmm.
which
is like what we talked about last week with the, I think it was last week.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Adultery.
The adultery, mm-hmm. week. So.
Yeah. So I would say that's probably not the healthiest way. Now, it's not saying the Holy Spirit can't work through those moments and sure. bring healing.
Right.
Because that sometimes that's how that happens. But I think we have two examples. And we were looking in the New Testament for examples of confession. And the only two I could find were Jesus. He uses parables to describe it. Mm-hmm. So you have the prodigal son, mm-hmm. as an example. And a tax collector in the temple being compared to a Pharisee confessing, right? And so it's interesting that when we look through Scripture, we don't have a very practical example that we can just go to. We have to go to Jesus' teaching in a parable, and so he's teaching what that is. And so it's a practice in which we are truthful, mm-hmm. and ask for forgiveness and an expectation that something will change moving forward,
mm-hmm.
right? Which may mean we need help on how to confess, and we may need help on how to experience life change. And so I think it's a package deal. Mm-hmm. When you guys heard that, what would you say differently or have follow-up on?
I think what you said is helpful, particularly the part of practicing confession, with somebody else, right? And I know that you and I do life enough together to know that there's a lot of times we'll say, hey, let me run this by you. I'm having this conversation later today, whether it's confessional or just instructive. I'm going to say it like this, or this is how I intend to say it. When I say it like that, what did it sound like? Did it come across like I intended it to? Did it not? And I think, because this is funny, right? So part of parenting, I believe, is the sanctification process, right? And so Gideon came home the other day. I'm certain his teacher is not listening to our podcast, but she may. And if she does, let me give you the insight to my 15-year-old's brain. Gideon gets in the truck the other day and says, hey, Dad, I probably didn't act as great as I could have in one of my classes today. I was talking a lot. I was like, I wonder where you get that. And so he was like, yeah, and I think my teacher was really upset. So I was quiet for the rest of the class, and I went up to her after the class was over, and I apologized to her, and she became irate at me and told me to leave the classroom. Mm. I was like, wait, that doesn't sound right. What did you say? He's like, well, I don't really remember what I said. And I said, can you try? Do you remember any words that you said? He said, yeah. I walked up to her and I said, hey, you know, so-and-so's name. And you got to understand Gideon, because Gideon, when he speaks to adults, he wants to speak adult-like. Again, I think we're learning. It's going to be good at some point. But essentially what he said to her was, I'm so sorry you got offended at what I did. And so he was like, I apologize. I said, no, you apologized for the way that she responded to you. And now you've taken all of this reason and you've dumped it on her. And so what she heard was she was in the wrong and you can't understand why she was in the wrong. And then that's why she reacted the way that she did. I think the point well taken for you, Neil, is if we can have those moments for him to say, hey, Dad, I'm planning on talking to my teacher. This is what I'm planning on saying. He may have said that and said, hey, you know what, bud? Maybe we should say it a little different. Maybe we just take complete ownership and right. We don't put that on somebody else. That would be so helpful. Yeah,
that's good.
So thank you for sharing that.
Well, I think the other thing with the confession is we will confess a behavior rather than the behavior and the motive behind what I did to you. And I think what we know from research with like parenting stuff is that it's one of the top few things that we do to mature our family's faith. But it is I raised my voice. I yelled at you today. And the reason I did that was because I felt betrayed by you, or I felt helpless to know how to direct you on this. And so I did this thing, and here's what was in the heart. If we start connecting it with the heart level of why we're doing what we're doing, that's a more well-rounded confession rather than just my behavior was, because if all we do is confess behavior, Mark, if I've done something to Mark and I just say, hey, I'm sorry for this, but I never tell him it was because of an insecurity or a moment of pain. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really know me any better, and I'm not really more known by him. Mm-hmm. And so a confession to me goes not just the behavior, but the etiology, the cause, and then what's expected afterwards. Mm. And I think the practice, because the practice is important, because in a relationship it's important to us. Let's say it's my marriage, and I confess to Jennifer. Well, there's emotions all tied into that. And so it may start off with a good confession, but the dynamics in the relationship now make it, and all of a sudden we're back off to the races arguing about something,
right?
Because my confession was imprecise, or for a variety of reasons. So to me, again, the practice of it is helpful.
Yeah, I think that's good. And what I hear is you saying that confession, the goal is to lead to intimacy, right? Not just so you can feel better about yourself, which is part of releasing, but it's also to move toward openness and honesty to improve the intimacy of the relationship with the other person. And so that ought to be the goal. That leads to the question, is there, and how do you know when, is the time to withhold confession for the sake of protecting intimacy? Mm-hmm. Is there a time or place to not necessarily confess something? Maybe it was a long time ago, or maybe the person's not aware, and so you bring it to the light. Do you do more damage than if you would have withheld? Is there time to do that? Are there instances where you would counsel, hey, let's not bring that one up?
For me, yeah. But it the story matters, and it depends, because what really is helpful in that is what's the motive?
Right.
Like, let's spend time really examining why I'm about to do what I'm about to do. Mm-hmm. And the context of how I'm going to do, how I'm going to practice confession in a way that brings healing to a relationship rather than simply dumps responsibility on someone else. It's kind of the same question of, is it, you know, the do not lie or do not bear false witness. Is it ever okay to lie? Right?
Right.
And the just reading through it, some of the better thoughts were from Jack Packer on, this is about, you know, bearing false witness against your neighbor.
Right.
Are there ever times when you bear false witness on behalf of someone else, mm-hmm. When they're not able to hold that weight or do that thing yet? And while I would say that's a really complicated conversation that I don't have a great answer for, I think you see, what did we land on? Was it James 2:25? Is that where Rahab?
Rahab.
She withholds information in order for something to occur that is helpful.
Right.
So while I would say my typical answer is to not withhold a confession or to not be truthful as a general rule, I think it is helpful on to consider how you get to being truthful and have a thoughtful process for that.
And I would say, again, community is important.
Yeah.
Don't try to make that decision in isolation.
Yeah.
Bring a brother or sister along and say, here's my... Here's where I'm at. Let's talk through this.
Yeah.
Help me with my motive. Help me to learn how to do this best.
Yeah. But that's a really imprecise answer.
No, that's good.
How would y'all clean that up?
Well, I think going back to when you first started describing, you know, confession, those kinds of things, the root of why do we lie? Like, what's the purpose behind it? Right. And you described, I believe you said, typically we do so to either tear someone down or to build ourselves up, right?
Right.
And so, I think if you start digging around in Scripture, New Testament, you're going to see Paul write about this. Peter writes about it in 2 Peter chapter 2. So put away all malice.
There it is. Yeah.
The pain. So the tearing down of some, like, my intention is to make you less. All deceit. I'm gonna portray myself as something as I'm not, right? All hypocrisy, like I'm gonna do something opposite of what I claim to be, and then envy, I want to make myself better than you, and then all slander, once again tearing another, like I'm gonna bring something against your rib. All those are sources of why we lie. And so he's saying, hey, put away all these things.
That's right.
Whereas you said, are there moments that I think when you get to talking in community, when you start weighing out wisdom, are there moments for the protection or on behalf of another? Those are not listed here.
Right.
And so as we think about this, it goes back to the whole idea of telling a lie versus am I a liar?
Right.
So a liar would have these things as their motive. Like,
that's good.
Like it is against someone, or it is prideful in building up self, not in the best interest of someone else. That's going to be, so going back to confession, it'd be one thing to say, hey, I told a lie. It'd be another thing to say, you know what? I was really trying to hurt you. Like that's a different level. And that's, to me, that's true. What you're driving at, that's true confession. Not just here's an act I did that I believe is wrong.
Right.
Here's the source of that act. And I think if we go back to what's the purpose of God giving these laws, nation, like whole, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So he's trying to make them something that they can't accomplish on their own. He's trying to get down to the heart of the matter.
Right.
And bringing these things to light for his people, of saying you're going to have to not just change your behavior, you're going to have to change your heart. Yeah,
That's good. That's
good.
I think that's a good way to wrap things up, man. Very well done.
I like it.
Well done.
Great discussion today. Good stuff. So we're going to head into this next week, hitting the last of the 10, and that's Don't Covet.
Don't Covet.
And then, as you said, we're going to have a bonus week after that, where we talk about the greatest command,
right?
Which kind of really encompasses all the other 10,
right?
So, looking forward to that. And this has been a great series. So,
It's been enjoyable. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It really has been.
Yeah. Really good.
So, guys, thank you for your time. Thank you for the conversation today. And I look forward to next week.
Love you guys.
Love you. Amen.
This has been a production of Broadmoor Baptist Church. If you enjoyed today's episode, please share it with others and don't forget to subscribe. To help us spread the word, please give us a 5-star review and tell your friends to subscribe as well. They can find us wherever they prefer to get their podcasts. And if you'd like more information about Broadmoor, please visit our website at broadmoor.org or connect with us on your favorite social media platform where we're listed as @mybroadmoor. Thanks for listening.